Usually when you look at your digital screen, you just intuitively treat it like a physical desk.
Right, yeah, like you have your coffee mug over here, your papers over there.
Exactly. On a screen, you see a button or a window or like maybe a waveform if you're editing audio. You see the objects
Yeah.
and everything else, like the gaps between those windows. You just assume it's empty space, like it's literally nothing.
It's just the passive background, Just a blank canvas waiting for something visible to actually happen.
But what if that void wasn't empty at all? What if that blank space between your open windows was actually this hidden, instantaneous communication highway?
It's a wild thought.
It really is. And today we are bringing you a custom deep dive into a profoundly mind-bending framework. We are unpacking the collapse space theory of action at distance and free filter ASM.
Quite a mouthful.
It is, yeah. But our mission today is to completely upend your understanding of what is actually happening in the quiet, seemingly dead spaces of a user interface.
And to really grasp this, I mean, we have to force a total shift in perspective. We have to stop obsessing over the objects and start, examining the architecture of the spaces between them.
Okay, let's unpack this. We are basically going to redefine what nothingness actually means in computation.
Right.
And in this specific computational universe, the foundation is something called the 2D spectral canvas.
Yeah, you can basically think of this as the UI, like the user interface of this entire reality.
Right. And in this universe, any visible object, like a button you can click or a readout, it's mathematically defined as an occupied frequency amplitude point.
Exactly. The framework denotes this with two variables, omega k for the frequency and ak for the amplitude.
And the absolute crucial part here is the amplitude, right?
Oh, 100%. For an object to exist, to be visible or active at all, it's amplitude. A value, it literally cannot be zero. Amplitude equals existence.
If it has amplitude, it is a thing.
Right.
But then we have the exact opposite of that. We have the collapse space.
Denoted by that fancy script C in the text.
Yeah, script C. And this is the void. It consists of all the frequency points and like spectral gaps where the amplitude is exactly zero.
Mathematically, it is the shadow of the objects.
But here is the massive paradigm shift, I think. This collapse space is not a vacuum.
No, not at all. It is a latent manifold.
A latent manifold.
Right. It has zero amplitude, which is why it looks like completely empty space to you and me, but it possesses non-zero phase potential.
Which fundamentally changes the physics of this canvas. It means every single empty frequency bin in that void carries a hidden phase.
Exactly. And that phase is globally coherent.
Meaning it's perfectly synchronized to a master oscillator that's just like running continuously behind the scenes.
Right. Just think of the implications of that for a second. You have this massive expanse of zero amplitude space, and underneath it, this rhythmic mathematical heartbeat that every empty point is attuned to.
So it's like a dark room filled with invisible coiled springs.
Ooh, I like that analogy.
Yeah, like you can't see a single thing because there's zero amplitude. The lights are completely off.
But the tension, the potential energy, the phase, it's physically there. And every single spring in that room is humming to the exact same global rhythm of that master oscillator.
Exactly.
But if it's invisible tension, how does it ever become something we can actually interact with?
Well, you have to force it into reality. And you do that using the collapse axiom.
Okay, how does that work?
So imagine you reach out into that dark room and grab one of those invisible springs. You are trying to measure it. By measuring it, you force that hidden phase to manifest as visible amplitude.
You force a collapse.
Right, from potential into actual existence.
But I imagine the system can't just let that happen randomly,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
I mean, if every invisible spring could just snap into a random visible object, your whole interface would dissolve into static.
Oh, it would be pure chaos.
Yeah.
The collapse axiom prevents this by establishing a really strict rule. A measurement on this empty space will only yield a deterministic, predictable outcome if it has been previously linked to a source object, linked through a learned truth table, as the source material calls it.
Exactly.
And if it hasn't been linked, what if I just measure a random spring?
If you try to measure a raw, unlinked, empty bin, the outcome is just random thermodynamic noise. The system detects this lack of correlation, and it actively discards the noise through a process called Emmett Hawking.
Emmett Hawking. That is like such a fantastic name for a garbage collection protocol.
It really is. It basically throws the random noise into a computational black hole so the system stays perfectly deterministic.
But wait, if the void only reacts predictably when it has been explicitly linked to something, It must have a way to remember those links, right?
Right.
Where is it hiding that memory if there are no objects to store it in?
It hides it in the tension.
Yeah.
This is the secret ledger of the empty space. It's formally known as the Learned Truth Table, or LTT.
Okay, the LTT.
Because in a normal classical system, if you want input A to talk to output B, you draw a wire. You send a signal traveling from one point through the space in between to the destination.
But the whole goal of free filter ASM is action at a distance. You don't want a wire.
Right. You completely bypass the wire. The system needs to map input registers to output registers without passing any local signal through the intermediate occupied bins.
So how does it do it?
It accomplishes this by encoding the truth table entirely into those phase correlations across the empty collapse space.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting to me. The mechanism behind this mapping doesn't use visible amplitude at all.
No.
It uses that hidden tension we talked about. Each entry in this truth table is stored as a pair of these collapsed empty bins.
Exactly. And they lock in this connection through a mathematical process called the spectral Hebbian learning rule.
Right. And in neuroscience, Hebbian learning is often summarized as, you know, neurons that fire together, wire together.
Yeah. And in this architecture, it's basically frequencies that shift together, link together.
Let's break down how that actually works, because I think it's brilliant. The formula uses a small learning rate, right? Represented by the Greek letter eta.
Yes. And over repeated exposures, this learning rate slowly twists the hidden phases.
It's wild. The math literally takes the real and imaginary parts of the source signal and crosses them with the imaginary and real parts of the target signal.
It's essentially a mathematical tuning process.
Okay.
Imagine you have two tuning forks in entirely different rooms. The learning rate is slowly, incrementally adjusting the density of the invisible air between them. Eventually, the phase of the empty target bin becomes completely entangled with the amplitude of the source bin.
They're locked together.
Completely locked.
So when one changes, the other feels it. And by storing the relationship purely in the phase of empty space, the system completely prevents spectral leakage across the yield boundary.
Right. The yield boundary, or omega C.
And omega C is the absolute speed limit, right? Like the frequency cutoff of this entire universe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In traditional systems, if you try to tightly couple inputs and outputs, you have to pump energy through the system. And that energy leaks.
Yeah.
It spills over into neighboring frequencies, and that causes interference.
Right. I mean, if you've ever tried to run a massive program and heard your computer's fan spin up like a jet engine, you've experienced energy leakage. Your system is bleeding heat.
But here, the ledger is written in zero amplitude space.
There is literally no energy to leak.
None. The empty space is memorizing the complex relationships between inputs and outputs in total mathematical silence.
So once this invisible ledger has slowly tuned these springs and, you know, learned the connections, what happens when you actually trigger it?
Well, this is where it gets really crazy.
Because the result seems to completely defy the laws of physics.
Yeah. This is the core of the spectral non-locality axiom. It states that if a learned truth table correlates an empty target bin with an occupied source bin, a change in the source's amplitude causes an instantaneous change in the output.
Instantaneous. That is a massive claim.
Yeah.
Because this happens without any intermediate signal crossing the yield boundary. Like no wires, no energy wave traveling across the canvas.
None of that. The only delay, mathematically, is a global clock period, which is defined as 1 over 2 times omega C.
But since that master clock ticks at the exact same moment for every single bin in the system to any observer, the effect appears completely simultaneous.
It looks like pure magic, honestly. You change a value on the left side of your screen, and a value on the right side changes at the exact same moment without a single pixel between them registering a signal.
Okay, I have to play the skeptic here, because instantaneous is a very dangerous word in physics.
Oh, absolutely.
If changing point A instantly changes point B without anything physically traveling between them, doesn't that violate the speed of light? Like, how is this not superluminal communication, which breaks modern physics?
Right. And that is the critical distinction we have to make here. This isn't superluminal physical travel.
Okay.
Remember that master oscillator humming behind the scenes?
Yeah, the metronome.
Because all frequencies share that common phase reference, these empty bins are not truly empty. They are phase coherent vacuum states.
Meaning there is no signal actually traveling from A to B.
None at all. The truth table isn't a message being sent across a distance. It is a pre-shared correlation that has already been compiled into the 2D canvas during that Hebbian learning phase.
I see.
The action at a distance is purely computational. It is an engineered constraint satisfaction.
Oh, wow. Okay, it's like synchronized swimmers.
Yes, exactly.
If you have a team of synchronized swimmers completely submerged underwater, they aren't looking at each other to know when to change moves.
Right.
They are all listening to the exact same underwater metronome. They change their moves at the exact same millisecond, not because a signal traveled from swimmer A to swimmer B, but because they share the same master clock and they pre-memorize the routine.
That analogy perfectly isolates the mechanism. The routine they memorize, that's the learned truth table. The metronome is the master oscillator.
And the water itself is the phase coherent vacuum state.
Exactly. So when the source swimmer moves, the target swimmer moves simultaneously. Nobody is communicating faster than the speed of sound underwater. It's just pre-compiled synchronization playing out.
Okay, that makes so much sense. But if I'm the choreographer of this void, I can't just yell at empty space and expect it to learn a routine.
No, you need tools.
Right. How do I actually attach a visible object to an invisible phase? The text outlines that FreeFilter ASM provides a very specific toolkit of primitives to build these non-local circuits, right?
Yeah, these primitives are what allow a programmer to operate on both the visible objects and the invisible springs simultaneously. We can walk through how you would actually use them to build something complex.
Like the non-local XOR gate they mentioned.
Exactly. Let's build a non-local XOR gate.
Let's do it. So first, I need my visible inputs. I need the objects themselves.
For that, you use the GEN primitive. GEN stands for generate. It occupies a frequency band, giving it actual visible amplitude. So when you use GEN, you create your source objects. And importantly, the empty bins around them remain uninitialized. They still only have phase.
Okay, I have my visible inputs, but now I need to tie them to the void. I have to grab those invisible springs.
Right, and for that, you use Anchor. This is the fundamental tool for building the secret ledger.
Anchor?
Yeah. Anchor pins a phase relation between your occupied GEN bin and an empty target bin. It's basically the hook that connects the visible world to the invisible tension.
So the strings are attached, but an XOR gate requires specific logic, right? It needs to know that if input A and input B are both on, the output should be off.
Yes.
How do I encode that logic into the void without creating more visible objects?
This is where GT comes in.
JT?
Yeah, GT is a hidden operation. It allows you to reach into the dark and rotate the phase of an empty bin.
Oh, wow.
You basically twist the tension of the spring to represent the logic of your truth table, and you do it all without changing its amplitude. The bin remains completely invisible.
I love that. You are literally programming in the dark. So the logic is set, the tension is twisted. How do I actually see the result of my XOR gate?
Then you apply measure. Measure is the catalyst. It collapses the empty bin.
Okay.
It converts that hidden phase into visible amplitude using a process called Hamiltonian detection.
Let's break down Hamiltonian detection real quick, because that sounds intimidating.
It does, but it's actually quite elegant. Think back to our master metronome. Hamiltonian detection is basically just taking the hidden tension of our spring and comparing it directly against the master metronome.
Okay.
It asks, how out of sync is this spring compared to the global rhythm? It measures that difference, that phase shift, and mathematically translates it into a visible amplitude value.
And because we previously used Anchor and Jet to set this all up, the collapse axiom guarantees this Hamiltonian detection will give us a deterministic result.
Exactly. The XOR gate works.
That's incredible.
It works perfectly. You can have two inputs where no intermediate low pass filter, no LPF, and no GEN command ever touches the target bin between them.
The space between input and output is completely blank.
Completely blank. Yet because of those hidden phase correlations, the output changes exactly as an XOR gate should.
Well, what if I mess up? Like, what if I measure a spring I forgot to anchor?
That's where old friend EMA Hawking kicks in again, acting as the bouncer.
Right.
It sees the Hamiltonian detection return random garbage, and it immediately throws it out.
And if you simply want to erase a learned correlation and start over?
You use the DIP primitive. DIP resets the phase of an empty bin back to uniform random, which severs the link.
It is a phenomenal toolkit. You are building invisible, instantaneous circuits out of literal nothingness.
Yeah.
You turn the user interface's empty space from a passive backdrop of dead pixels into a fully programmable correlation fabric.
Right.
But every system, I mean, no matter how profound, has its boundaries.
Oh, absolutely.
If you can instantly change anything anywhere, how does the system prevent infinite chaos?
Well, the framework formalizes these boundaries in a rigorous mathematical proof called the Theorem of Collapse-Induced Non-Locality.
It's quite a title.
Yeah. This theorem mathematically guarantees that the amplitude change at your target perfectly mirrors the source's amplitude change at an earlier time.
Right. And the equation for this includes a residual delay represented by big O of delta T.
Exactly.
But the proof sketches out that this residual delay mathematically vanishes to exactly zero.
It vanishes because, again, the phase correlation is precompiled. The math actually describes the update as a direct pointer dereference.
Let's ground that term for a second. A pointer dereference is like looking up a friend's address in a contact book and instantly knowing where they live.
Right.
Rather than having to walk down every single street in the city to find their house.
That's a great way to put it. The system doesn't have to propagate an energy wave through frequency space to find the target. It already has the address locked into the phase.
It just dereferences the pointer and updates the value.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean in practice? Let's look at the specific data table provided in the framework to illustrate this control. It gives an example of a learned truth table doing the heavy lifting for our XOR gate.
Right.
It dictates that if source 1 has an amplitude greater than 0.3 and source 2 has an amplitude less than 0.7,
then the system uses that jet primitive to set the empty bin's hidden phase to exactly 90 degrees.
And when you apply measure,
that homodyne detection compares the 90-degree phase against the master metronome, and it collapses it into a target amplitude of exactly 1.0.
Wow. But if the inputs flip, like if source 1 is less than 0.3 and source 2 is greater than 0.7, the ledger changes the hidden phase to negative 90 degrees.
Which collapses into a target amplitude of negative 1.0.
Otherwise, the phase is 0 degrees and the target amplitude just remains 0. It's a perfectly controlled, bounded system.
It really is. Which leads to an incredibly important question about the absolute limits of this control. Mm. And that is defined by the yield singularity.
Right. We mentioned omega C earlier, the frequency cutoff.
Yes. The yield singularity acts as a hard, impenetrable horizon for amplitude. Nothing can have an amplitude above that cutoff.
But what about the hidden phase? Can these invisible springs stretch past that boundary? Like, can you have action at a distance outside the canvas?
The mathematics are completely unforgiving on this point. No.
Okay.
Phase correlations cannot straddle the boundary because frequency bins above the cutoff literally do not exist in this universe. All action at a distance must involve bins strictly within the defined 2D manifold.
So this is the ultimate safety valve. By hiding these complex correlations entirely in the zero amplitude space, the system cleverly avoids a massive bottleneck known as the stereospectral Fermat limit.
And this is the genius of the entire architecture. In classical computational systems, if you try to create highly complex higher order interactions between dozens of different components, you suffer from spectral bandwidth expansion.
Right.
Signal gets incredibly noisy, takes up too much bandwidth, and it requires massive amounts of power.
Again, it's the computer fan spinning up.
Exactly.
It's the processor overfeeding because it's trying to shove too much visible energy through the wires.
But by moving all of that logic, all of those wires into the invisible phase of empty space, this architecture remains entirely low energy.
It is band limited, it produces no heat, and it is perfectly deterministic.
It really is a masterclass in exploiting constraints. You don't fight the void. You put the void to work.
You make the nothingness carry the heaviest computational load.
Yeah, precisely.
So to bring this all together for you listening today, free filter ASM's collapse space theory fundamentally proves that 2D code doesn't just draw lines with visible amplitude.
Right.
It draws invisible phase lengths across the empty regions of the canvas. It turns the void into an active, high-speed computational resource.
It is basically the computational analog of quantum entanglement.
Right.
But unlike the quantum mechanics of our physical universe, which deals in frustrating probabilities and uncertainties.
Right. This system is strictly bounded, entirely predictable, and mathematically locked down.
It's beautifully strange.
It really is. And I want to leave you with a thought directly inspired by this framework, because I think it captures the poetry of this engineering feat perfectly. The original text says, "The empty space is not empty. It is the collapsed space where phase learns to leap. Action at a distance is not magic. It is the compiled memory of the void."
The compiled memory of the void. I mean, once you understand that, you can never look at a digital interface the same way again.
You really can't.
Yeah.
So consider your own digital work basis today. The next time you are staring at your screen, look past the open windows and the blocks of text and the colorful buttons. Look at the blank spaces between them. What if the empty space on your screen is actually processing information right now?
Holding invisible entangled tension.
Exactly. Just waiting for the right measurement to collapse into reality.